Would you turn with me to a verse, please, that we have already been thinking a little about in our consideration this week? Ephesians chapter 1. And it's verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Would you turn back to the Acts of the Apostles, please? To the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. Verse 1. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into the land wherein ye now dwell." So verse or two in Corinthians. First Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 8. Break into this. We could read verse 7 perhaps to give the sense. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Psalm 24. The latter part of the of Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. There's another one scripture in Peter's epistle where it speaks about the Spirit of glory. What's on my mind to develop a little, as the Lord might help me to, recognizing that it's a tremendous subject to speak about, the outshining of divine excellency. But I think that what we have discovered, among many other things, the few days that we've been together, is that the veil has been drawn aside to reveal to us some of the wonderful facets of glory. Divine excellency revealed. And indeed, every facet of glory in some way or another is resplendent in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that when we think about the consideration of today, and perhaps yesterday, we see how many avenues there are to pursue in order that we might see something of the wideness, the greatness, the wonder of the fact that God, in wondrous grace and in sovereign mercy, has revealed himself in this way in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So just to make a few brief comments as we go over the scriptures that we've read together, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he dwelt in Mesopotamia. Now we've been thinking today about this character, Abraham, friend of God, one to whom God revealed secrets. And on the question of secrets revealed that we're dealing with this particular week in studying the Word of God, Abraham was let in to the secrets. And there are many things said about him, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that give us to see that the veil, to a certain extent, was drawn aside for Abraham to see. And he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Now that is what we might call a partial revelation. I don't know how much Abraham saw of the future. I don't think that he contemplated at all the wonderful things that we've been thinking about in connection with the church and the glory of the church. But at least he, in some way, looked on to the future, as we've been doing today, looking on to the future. But two things I would like to emphasize, and we've had them already today, and I'm taking a little bit time to speak about them, because I think that we've just been saying to each other that there are many people, many brothers here, who would like to have said something, and they haven't had the opportunity to say it. Well, I suppose I've had probably more than my share of opportunity to say things, so I'll try to be as brief as possible now, but I want to emphasize one thing that was mentioned today, and that's the glory of divine sovereignty. When we think of the glory of God, we think of the power and the might of God as sovereign. And of course, another thought in the God of glory is that he is the supreme power in the universe. And when we think about the verse that we read in Ephesians 2, that we perhaps didn't say a lot about it at the time, but the Father of glory means that he is the originator. It springs from him. He is the source of it. And as the God of glory, he has the sovereign power to put it into effect. And you know, when we finished our meeting this afternoon, I'm sure we were all impressed with the thought of the outshining of glory, both in its past, present, and future aspect, the glory of God. And therefore, the originator was in the Godhead. And we'll see, as we look at these others, that the persons of the Godhead are concerned in this wonderful glory, the outshining of divine excellencies. And it is, in sense, a humbling thought that the likes of you and I have had the veil drawn aside to see this. I say this because I'm thinking about bringing in, at the end of this little talk, the thought of how do we respond to glory that's been revealed to us like that. The glory of divine persons in all the different facets in which we see it in the scriptures, and I suppose the question that's going to come to our hearts at the end of it, again, is the question of
true response to this?
Well, now the thought of the Father of Glory, if we think about and try to memorize the two things, divine sovereignty, divine superiority, is suggested to us in the God of Glory and in the Father of Glory, the originator, the source of this glory. Now, the verse that we read in Corinthians is bringing us right to the consideration that we've had this week, the consideration of the Lord of Glory. If the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of Glory. But they did not know. And the Lord Jesus, you remember on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But in the wonder of it all, the veil has been drawn aside. And I know that we could go over, as we so often think about them in various Bible readings, etc., the different facets of glory that shine out in the person of the Lord Jesus. His official glory, his personal glory, the glory of incarnation, the moral glory of his pathway here, the glory of the cross, the glory of resurrection, the glory of his ascension to God's right hand, and the glory of the fact that we, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord. So that we think of the reference that the Apostle Paul made when writing to the Hebrews, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. The Lord of Glory, the one who came from glory's heights down into the very dust of death, the one who trod the path of obedience here in this dark world and who went to the cross, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a tremendous subject for our hearts, the Lord of Glory. And based on the wondrous work of the cross is this wonderful revelation that we're talking about today. And the revelations that the Apostle Paul had, if we think of what he said in writing to the Galatians, when he spoke about it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, not simply by the preaching. And we do revel in the preaching of the Apostle Paul. We go to Acts of the Apostles to listen to perhaps in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the finest gospel sermon that was ever preached. And we think about him as a preacher. And we think about him in Romans, where we've been today, as a teacher, teaching in the many different ways the truth that is come to light, whether we think of it dispensationally or whether we think of it otherwise in the nearer circle of our blessing. There is the teaching, the fundamental teaching that reflects the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had another revelation, you remember, when he said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, it begins, I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the same night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. And there he unfolds as a revelation from God given to us the fact and the wondrous truth concerning the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread. I draw attention to this, for there the true worship and the glory of the Lord Jesus are so often before us. The glory of the Lord in all its different facets as we gather together to remember him as he requested, do this for a remembrance of me. If there's some young people here who haven't already come forward to do this, this is the one thing the Lord Jesus asks. The Lord of Glory asks. The one who descended into the lower parts of the earth. The one who went to the cross of Calvary. He says, do this for a remembrance of me. Take another look at it. Think about it seriously. Think of the fact that the Lord of Glory has drawn the veil aside that you and I should not only know the joy and blessing of salvation, but be brought into this wonderful nearness to himself. And when you think about it, trust that the Lord will touch your heart so that you will come forward to take your place to remember the Lord Jesus. This was a revelation that the Apostle Paul got. He got another revelation further on. When he's writing to the Thessalonians, he said to them, didn't want them to be ignorant. We spoke about this today. I think your brother Ernie mentioned the fact that there's one or two times when the apostle says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And then he tells us about the wonderful truth of the rapture. We've been engaging ourselves today a little about the fact that this truth in a certain way is being lost sight. The glory of the Lord when he comes in the clouds to call us to his side. Let's keep this before our hearts, because everything indicates that one of those mornings the Lord Jesus is going to come and take us to be with himself. So there's another revelation. The revelations that the Apostle Paul had, including the revelation of the mystery, the secrets of the heart of God in relation to his church. So that the glory of the Lord covers a wide range of glories, and I don't want to say any more about that, for I want to have a minute or two to talk about the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? Well, we've learned today, you know, that the display of this glory on this earth where we are at the moment is going to be through the power and wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to earth. His appearing that we were talking about today, as distinct from the rapture, he's coming again in glory, and he's going to set up the kingdom here. And it's going to be the most wonderful day that ever was in this world. For there, the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters covered the sea. And as the King of Glory, he is going to take over the administration of that millennial scene. One of the things that we feel today, and I don't think we can avoid feeling it, is that the administration in the hands of men has gone to pieces. Man has failed to administer things in this world, proved a complete failure, and they're still looking for a man. We think of the cry of Job, a day's man, one who can lay his hand upon both. And you know, there'll never be a real blessing and joy and peace in this world until the man who can lay his hand upon both comes to take over the reins of government. Think of this blessed person that we've been thinking about so much, the one who can touch the throne of God and touch the guilty sinner and clear the way by dying on the tree to make way for that wonderful day when he shall display his glory, and the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters covered the sea, and everything that hath breath shall praise his glorious name. There's just another one, and I didn't turn to it, but it's in 1 Peter, and you'll find it for yourself, and it speaks about the Spirit of Glory. The Spirit of Glory, beloved, is the Spirit that you and I have in our hearts. We have the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, dwelling within us. If you're a true believer, and it may be that there's somebody here tonight, and you've never really come to know the Lord Jesus in a true, real way as your Savior, and the opportunity exists today for all the glory and all the blessing and all the joy and all the happiness that we're speaking about now is available to those who come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and I take it that nearly everyone here has already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and they have in their hearts the Holy Spirit of God, and he is the Spirit of Glory. He will reveal to us and make good in our hearts all this glory. And as we take account of it, we feel like what Peter penned in his epistle,
what kind of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness. If we take into our hearts something about the glory of the things that we're speaking about today, whether we think of Abraham away back in the past, or whether we come near to our own day and think of today, the present, and all that's available to us in the power of the Holy Spirit revealed to us from the Word of God, made good in our hearts, enabling us to do what we've been doing this week, talking together about those glorious things that center in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether we think of the fact of the coming glory of the kingdom, whatever way we desire to think of it, it must affect our hearts. And whether we speak of the world to come, and we ought to speak about it, and we ought to think about it, and we ought to get really to grips with what the Bible teaches about the future. Because I'll tell you this, there's nobody knows about the future except the Christian. Those who have the Spirit of God and the Word of God have the secret of the future within their grasp. And so I say to my young brethren, if you pardon me for addressing you, get to grips with the Word of God and what it teaches about the future. For the present day will be colored by you and by those who are the Lord's by the knowledge of what is coming in the future. People think about the future. All those around us that we meet with every day, they want to know about the future. They would like to be able to see things in a clear light, and they can't. Because the only way to see a clear way into the future is through God's Word by His Holy Spirit. So this thought of glory, it's not been handled very well, I appreciate that, but what I did feel today, as we come to the end of our meeting this afternoon, that the thought of the glory of the Lord was really predominant in it all. May it affect our hearts for His name.